Welcome to the Sacred Awakenings podcast. We are a community that supports spiritual exploration in order to awaken our greatest potential. Our Sunday gatherings are a time we set aside for ritual and ceremony as a community to enrich our own spiritual lives with the support of other open-hearted people. We have taken excerpts from our Sunday talks from various spiritual leaders to put here to make it easier for listening and re-listening. Enjoy our talk.
Good morning. It's great to be here connecting with everyone, sharing a message, and just participating in our community this way today. So today's message is called The Heart of Service. And I just want to share where this came from and what inspired me to communicate about this today. So last week, Rev Cher spoke about interconnection and the need and the ability to restore nature's balance. And in her talk, she spoke about 9/11. This is the 20th year after the 9/11 attacks, and she talked about how people came together to help other people by donating blood and donating money, and firefighters flooded the New York area from all over to support the other firefighters and to search for victims and to help with the cleanup. Police officers came together to help create a safe community for everyone. Counselors and ministers and chaplains came in from everywhere to help support everyone spiritually and mentally and emotionally. Everyone came together, and I mean everyone. This was a worldwide event. It happened in New York, but everyone from around the world was impacted by this experience. And as I was reflecting on her talk and that point in her talk, it made me think, why? What was it about that experience, all of those many experiences related to that one event, that made everyone come together? And it's the idea that we're human. It was a human experience. It wasn't a community experience. It wasn't a religious experience. It wasn't a political experience. It wasn't a racial experience. It was a human experience. And we all, as humanity, have common experiences that transcend all of the classifications and identifications that we somehow fall into. And the people who came together to help other people were able to connect to that humanity within themselves to feel the emotional similarity of those total strangers on the other side of the world or in the same country but in a different time zone come together because we're human. It was a human experience. And that human experience is shared, but what was it? It was their heart of service, I believe, that led them to want to donate, to want to help, to want to serve, who collected items and then donated those items. I can remember I was working in the school systems at the time, and I remember myself, the other teachers and the students, we were like, what can we do to help? How can we raise money? How can we collect items? Is there anything we can do to help? What's our way of participating in the human experience of lifting up other humans who are going through something that we aren't on the same level? The heart of service is what today's talk is about. It isn't about 9/11. That's an example. But it's about the heart of service, the center, the foundation, the core of service. but it's also about the heart of service, the heart of supporting and sharing, caring, helping, the core of helping, the center of supporting, the heart of service. I believe that service is love in action. That's why it's so important to me to be mindful of my actions and my decisions, because when I'm serving, it's love in action. It's how I show love. It's how I receive love. It's how I experience love. One of the many ways. And I know I'm not the only one in that. There are lots of us who feel that way. And we see it all the time. When people live from a place of service, from that heart that wants to help, they enter the helping professions. They enter medical professions. They enter ministry professions. They enter education. They enter all the different realms in which they can help. It's about helping, and it's in all areas of life. It's adults who choose their careers. It's children who read books to animals who live in shelters. It's children who read books to their siblings or their friends. It's everywhere. There's an example. I just saw an article from earlier this week. There was a football game in Iowa, and the play had just finished, and the two teams separated, and they were going back to their separate benches. And one player saw another player go down and grab his calf and just cry out in pain. And no one had seen him do this except this one kid. But he ran over to this kid on the opposing team and helped him and stretched out the muscles and really just wanted this other player to feel better, because it was a human experience. He himself knows what it feels like to have a leg cramp that makes you cry out and just immediately fall to the ground. No one else saw the kid fall, and the trainers hadn't come out yet. But, you know, this high schooler is over there helping and supporting a rival, if you will. He's an opponent on the other team. Doesn't matter at that point who he is. He's just a kid who went down with something that the first person understood and said, "My heart is big enough. I just want to go help." It happens everywhere. It even happens in the animal kingdom. It happens in all realms of life. There was an article in CNN with an image of an orangutan who's reaching out to help a person who's in the water. And what the person in the water, the snake-infested water, was actually doing was clearing the snakes away from where the orangutan was to help protect it. But the orangutan doesn't know that. It just knows there's someone in dangerous water, in a dangerous situation. So this orangutan reaches out to try to help the person who's actually helping him. When I was young, my family, we had fish tanks. We had tropical fish tanks around our house. My mom did, I should say. And we just got to enjoy watching all of these little atmospheres of different fish tanks. And there was one off in the corner, and it had different types of goldfish in it. And one of the goldfish was a blind albino goldfish, and it was beautiful. It was white, pearlescent. It had the white over the eyes. It was just really neat to watch its fins. Of course, it's a fish, so you're watching its fins and you're watching it swim, but you're contemplating the fact that this fish is blind. And my mom said to me one day when I was watching these fish, and she said, "What do you notice about that fish?" And I said, "I don't know. What? It's blind." But then she said, "Watch." And she sprinkled the fish food across the top of the water. And this other little fish came up and nudged the blind one up to the food, waited while the blind one ate its food. And then the helper fish ate its own food. And then it would be swimming around with the blind one. They were always together. It was like the blind fish had a seeing eye fish, that it just had a partner. And it was the neatest thing to watch. And I started to pay closer attention to these fish in this one tank. And anytime the little blind one would get stuck in a corner or something, its partner would come and help move it, nudge it out of the way. Anytime other fish would start to get aggressive with it or territorial with it, the little helper would step in the middle or swim to the middle and intercede on behalf of the blind one. This happened when I was in probably seventh grade, and I'm well beyond that age right now in my life. And it's still this beautiful teacher for me that life matters and life recognizes life. And I mean life with a capital L. Life recognizes life, and life serves life, and life takes care of life. And in order for life to do that, we need to have a heart of service. It's natural. I believe that it's instinctive. And I think that having a heart of service is our innate sense of being. It isn't until later in life when maybe that's pushed to the side through whatever, through experiences, through emotions, through all kinds of things. But I believe that our truest sense is to serve and to help, that we're all capable of helping and having that heart of service. That's the heart of service. But the heart of service made me start to think about servant leadership. I studied leadership in college, and so it's really important to me. I'm fascinated by the different types of leadership and the aspects of leadership and leadership philosophies. And leadership as a study really isn't very old. It's only about 75 or 80 years old. And people have been leading ever since creation came about. Anytime you have, you know, two or more beings in one place, leadership is happening. But as for studying it and really understanding leadership, it's a very young study. And servant leadership is, I think, one of my favorite types of leadership, because it takes the traditional sense of leadership, traditional leadership, which is seen as a pyramid, which has the leader on the top and then all of the followers, whether they're managers, executives, employees, or customers. If we're thinking in the organizational business kind of standpoint, that's the typical type of leadership. Servant leadership turns it completely over to where the triangle is upside down and the leader's at the bottom. And if we go from the business or organizational standpoint, the leader's at the bottom, and then above the leader would be all of the realms of executives and managers and employees and customers and clientele, that sort of thing. In traditional leadership, it's top down. In servant leadership, it's supported from the bottom and upheld. And the ideas of servant leadership, or what makes it so unique, is that it really is concerned with communication and listening skills, creating and developing a healthy community. Servant leadership is about stewardship and support of everyone, helping everyone for the sake of helping everyone and seeing them grow, giving people opportunity to develop skills and to mature in a healthy way. Servant leadership is about helping for the sake of helping first. And the really neat thing about servant leadership is it's everywhere. It's not just in business. It's not just in organizations. It's in schools. It's in churches. It's on teams. It's in families. It's in relationships. It's in the animal kingdom. It's in the plant kingdom. Servant leadership shows us that we can all be leaders. We can all be healers. We can all be servants. And we can all have that heart that wants to help and support in any way that we can. And we're all servant leaders. So as we go about our lives and we see a need and then we reach out there to fulfill it, it's our heart of service. It's our heart of service. And when we perform actions that follow through, it's our heart of service that's coming in. It's a little distinction right there, but it's really important to make that distinction. So as we stop and we look at our lives and we think, where am I leading? How am I leading? Am I serving? How am I serving? Where is my heart in all of this? We see that we're all capable of being servant leaders and having that heart that says, this is who I am and this is what I do. And it's really important as we have and develop our heart for service that we also make sure that we develop our heart for self-awareness, because self-awareness will teach us the ways in which we can serve, the places where we need to learn. We tend to serve, I think, best from our natural ability, but it doesn't mean that we don't stretch or reach out of our comfort zone or learn new things. The heart of self-awareness also helps us to develop a place of self-care. And self-care is necessary when we're going to serve and when we are having our heart open to service, because we're going to get tired and we can't pour from an empty vessel. It's not possible. So when we come together through servant leadership, it's about community. It's about upholding the community, developing the community, but also leaning into the community. The self-awareness we develop because our heart for service is open, the self-awareness we develop tells us that self-care is necessary. We lean into our fellow beings. And when we lean into our fellow beings, it's their turn to step up and our turn to step back. I have one more example from my childhood about that lesson. I used to sing in the junior choir at my church. Don't ask me to sing out loud in front of people because I'm not very comfortable. I'll sing in the car with the music up and the windows up. I like to jam out in my car, but I'm going to leave the singing to Lori and John and everybody else that comes in because you all are amazing. Anyway, when I was in choir, and I think at that time I was probably in about second or third grade, maybe third grade, we were learning how to hold long notes. And a whole note is four notes, and some songs will have multiple whole notes in a row. And we were asking our director, Diane, how do we do this? How do we hold our breath? How do we sing those notes that long? And she said, you're a choir. She said, you're a team. When you're getting tired and you need to take a breath, you take a breath. The other people in the choir will hold the note for you so that you take your breath, you go back in. And when other people are tired, they're going to take a breath and then they'll go back in. And you just hold the note together as a choir and take care of yourself and lean into each other when you need to take a breath. And that lesson stuck with me as well. And that really taught me what it meant to be a community or a group identity as a choir. And I think that as servant leaders, we all here at Sacred Awakenings are servant leaders in some way. Our heart of service led us to be here. We may have different reasons or stories behind which we found Sacred Awakenings, but we're all here because our heart called us and we want to serve and we want to help and we want to support. And so as we come together as a community, we hold the note for each other. So it's my turn to hold the note for someone else. That's my heart of service that says someone needs a break. So I step in. And then when I need a break, I take that breath. I step back. The other person steps in. Their heart is open in service to our community. So we're all here at Sacred Awakenings, a servant leader in some way. And I think that's just an amazing community to develop, but that's also an amazing way to live with the heart of service as the first and foremost important thing happening in our lives. How are you leading? Where are you leading? Are you leading here at Sacred Awakenings? Are you leading in your family? Are you leading in your relationship? Are you leading in your job? Anywhere and everywhere, your heart of service is open. I'm really glad that you opened it. And I'm glad to know that you're going to hold the note for me when I need to take a break myself. And you know that I'll be here when you need to take a break.
Thank you for finding us and tuning in to the message today. Please visit our website at sacredawakenings.org. May every day bring you Sacred Awakenings.